Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
You're on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. World Lymphoma Awareness Day is on September 15th. But what do we really know about lymphoma, and where are we in our fight against this cancer? We get answers on Health Suites next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. I'm joined on the phone by Dr. Francesca Lorraine Lim, consultant with the Department of Hematology, Singapore General Hospital, Assistant Medical Director at the Cell Therapy Facility, Health Science Authority, and Deputy Head of the Sing Health Duke and US Cell Therapy Center. We're talking about lymphoma. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clarissa. Thank you very much for having me this afternoon.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Now, September 15th is World Lymphoma Awareness Day. Where are we insofar as lymphoma is concerned and our awareness? And since we're talking about awareness, maybe you can give us an overview of lymphoma before we get any further.
So lymphoma is a big term that really encompasses many different types of subtypes, if you like, of lymphoma. And how we usually approach lymphoma is that we tend to classify them into the slow-growing, or what we like to say, benign, so not so life-threatening, versus those that are much more aggressive and therefore need to be seen by a specialist and obviously receive treatment as soon as possible. So that's how we broadly classify the lymphoma in Singapore. Usually what happens if a patient gets a diagnosed with lymphoma, it's very important that we need to demarcate which subtype they belong to, because obviously if it's the aggressive type, then this warrants medical attention. And this is usually done where the patients will need to undergo a lymph node biopsy, because that's usually how they will present, where they have swellings either in the groin region, in the armpit area, or in the neck, and then that is sent for further tests. Once we identify the subtype of the lymphoma that the patient actually has, then the conversation starts as to what can be done for these patients.
Okay, now, according to the National Cancer Centre Singapore, lymphoma ranks as one of the most common cancers in Singapore. You're saying there's two different kinds, one that isn't so dangerous, shall we say, and another which is quite frightening, maybe. A type of cancer affecting certain types of immune system cells, specifically the white blood cells?
Yes, that's right.
Break it down for us.
Okay. So the majority of the cancers, well, the common cancer at this point in time, we talk about the ones that are a little bit more serious.
Mm-hmm.
The most common serious lymphoma that we deal with is known as diffuse large B-cell lymphoma.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the more aggressive, where, as you rightly said, it is more serious. And how patients tend to present is that they can present with some swelling and they go for biopsy, which means taking that out and looking under the microscope to identify what kind of lymphoma it is. Once that is done, they then actually come to have further imaging of their whole system to see whether there is anywhere else in their body that is affected with lymphoma. Once we actually stage the patient, we then actually counsel them on the treatment. So diffuse large B-cell lymphoma is one of the most common aggressive lymphomas that we see here in Singapore. But majority of the patients who are diagnosed with diffuse large B-cell will respond to first-line chemotherapy treatment, and they will actually have a good response. However, a minority of the patients, about 30% of them, will unfortunately relapse after the first-line treatment. So basically, that's what we are dealing with. And of course, it becomes more challenging if they have multiple relapses after standard of care treatment, followed by second-line therapies and so on and so forth.
Okay, you're talking about a cancer that is basically in our cells, in our lymphatic system. So
how
rapidly does this cancer move through our body?
So even though it is a form of blood cancer, and that's why the imaging is so important for these patients, because it gives us an idea of how extensive the disease is already at presentation. Unfortunately, at this point in time, there is no screening tools that we can use to help anticipate or preempt or suggest that this patient has a much more higher chance of developing lymphoma compared to somebody else. There's no screening tools at this point of time. And therefore, patients will tend to present either with prolonged fever, they might be waking up with night sweats, and you know, they're sweating so badly that they actually need to change their clothes. And then there can be profound weight loss as well. And of course, when that happens, it's very important that you seek medical attention. So as mentioned before that, in terms of how rapidly it will progress through the body, it's not so much a fact that, oh, it's a blood cancer and therefore it is rapid. It is really dependent on the type of lymphoma that you have. And there are certain special stains that we can do on the biopsy to then give us a better understanding as whether this is going to be a lymphoma that is very fast growing or whether this is a lymphoma that is really slow growing. And therefore, sometimes you can even just wait and watch and see the patient regular intervals and really not actually need to administer any form of treatment for them.
Right. Okay. So is there a specific type or who is more at risk? A type of person, gender specific, age specific, or is it an equal opportunity cancer?
So at this point of time, we just focus on the aggressive type of lymphoma. That tends to have like a bimodal kind of presentation where it can affect some young adults, but it can also affect the elderly population and tends to be more common in males compared to females. But otherwise, at this point of time, there's no real risk factors to say that you're more, if you have this characteristic, the chances of you developing lymphoma is much higher. I think there isn't any scientific element at this point of time.
So an equal opportunity cancer?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me understand this. You're saying night sweats, weight loss, tiredness, those kind of things, and some painful swelling in the lymph nodes, the neck, the underarm, the groin. These seem like pretty common symptoms, persistent fever even. How do you tell if you are the person suffering from it? How do you tell, oh, this is not just nothing and maybe it's time for me to see a medical professional?
So I think not every patient with lymphoma may present this way. Sometimes you may just present with a very... You might not be symptomatic, or all you might notice is just a swelling around the neck or around the jaw area, which obviously doesn't go away. And I think it's always good to seek medical attention anyway at a general practitioner or at the polyclinic and let, you know, the doctors actually do a physical examination, let them take a history from you. I think sometimes it is quite clear cut if, let's say, you've had a flu and then you've got a sore throat and you have a swelling, then maybe give it a few days to see whether it resolves or with antibiotics. But however, if this persists and you start feeling more tired than usual, then it's always good to have a blood test done and at the time be seen by a specialist. It's best to always be seen earlier than later. That's my advice at the end. If you're not sure, if you're worried, I think there's no harm seeking medical attention. Just because, as mentioned, you know, earlier on, that there's no screening test to say that, oh, if you undergo this test, then the chances of lymphoma is very low or it's very high. We don't actually have those tools at this point of time.
Okay, now the reason why this is an important question for me is because, you know, being a typical Singaporean, we just brush off not feeling absolutely 100%. Oh, I didn't sleep well enough, you know, something in the food, maybe a little bit more stress at work. We brush things off like that and we realize after a while that we've been suffering from it for a while and...
Yeah.
We're quite resistant to go and get diagnosed for something.
Yes, but I think as a, you know, when you're dealing with cancer, like I say, the earlier you're seen by a specialist, the better it is.
Now, at what stage is lymphoma usually diagnosed? Are we coming in to be checked for it in time?
Yeah, I think that is a challenging question just because of the fact that sometimes, as mentioned, patients may actually remain very, very well and they may just have a swelling that may, you know, maybe some days it looks smaller, some days it doesn't. And it's very difficult to actually then, you know, go and say that, oh, I'm going to see a doctor now because of this swelling. You know, people may also think that, oh, you're so paranoid, why go and see a doctor? So, but the reality is that, you know, there is, if you're worried and this persists for much longer, then it is really advisable that you actually seek medical attention.
Right. Now, the earlier the diagnosis, the earlier the treatment, the better the outcome.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the treatment landscape. What are the options available to us now?
As with all things, just chemotherapy and radiotherapy have always been the cornerstone and surgeries, like, for the treatment of cancers. And that is really what we routinely do for all our patients at this point of time. You have cancer and it's amenable to, you know, surgery, you take it out, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and so on and so forth. However, what has come of age these days in cancer medicine are much more fancier medicines, if you like, where they use the immune system to fight against cancer, or they attempt to mimic the immune system to try and fight against the cancer. At the same time, as our knowledge of cancer has grown over the time, we are now able to target cancer in a much more precise manner, in the sense that we know that there are certain proteins on the surface of these cancer cells that are, if you like, foreign to our immune system. And we refer to proteins on the cancer cells as antigens. So therefore, when your white cells, which are basically your fighter cells, they see these foreign proteins on the cancer cells, they can actually swim towards them and kill these cancer cells. And therefore, there are certain antibodies in place that are used and elicit this kind of mechanism to actually recognize these special antigens, the proteins on the cancer, go towards it and kill. And so these are things like, these are the monoclonal antibodies, the immune modulatory agents that we use now for lymphoma. And of course, the latest thing, the buzzword in lymphoma is obviously immune cell therapy, whereby you actually take the patient's cells out and you modify them genetically to actually target the cancer, and you give them back to the patient to do the work.
Okay, now chemotherapy has been around for a long time, and the understanding of the average person, myself included, is that chemotherapy, whilst it attacks the cancer, also had a tendency to kill healthy cells. So there was a certain level of resistance of people who suffered from various cancers to have chemotherapy because of that. Now you're saying that there's these new, better, cleverer types of treatments that attack specifically the bad cells.
Yes.
And are able to leave the good cells alone. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So I think, as with all things, the other buzzword that people like to say is precision medicine, mm-hmm. and in a way, personalized medicine. So you're right, in the earlier days with chemotherapy and radiotherapy, patients have a lot of concerns and anxiety because of the fact that, yes, the chemotherapy, it recognizes the cancer cells, kills them, but it also damages your healthy cells along the way. And hence, it is not specific. It gets the job done, basically, but at certain cost expense of the healthy state of the patient as well. And I think that has always been recognized as a limitation as to how much chemotherapy, no matter how good the chemotherapy is and no matter how well your patient responds, the reality is that there is always a limit to the amount of chemotherapy we administer to patients because of the fact that it is toxic to the healthy cells as well. And over time, if you were to do that, obviously the patient, you know, your organ function and your health state will also be compromised. And therefore, finding alternative treatment avenues have been very, very important and have been breakthrough therapies in cancer. For example, there is a monoclonal antibody known as rituximab. So before that, in lymphoma, we were just using chemotherapy to treat these patients. But after we found this new monoclonal antibody called rituximab to be used in combination with the chemotherapy, the outcomes for these patients in terms of the survival benefits were much more profound. And currently, no regimen will actually give just the chemotherapy without this monoclonal antibody called rituximab, unless, of course, the patient has some kind of allergic reaction or there's some form of contraindication that you cannot administer rituximab to these patients. The reality is that that is how cancer medicine has evolved over time. And then the next level has come in the fact that this was still a monoclonal antibody, meaning that it is a medicine that you make in combination that is given to the patients. But now the next wave is actually giving medicine that can either recruit the immune cells to the cancer site and kill the cancer, or you can actually just take the patient's T cells, modify them to actually then target the cancer. And that has been shown currently in the CAR T cell setting, which tends to target a known antigen that is highly expressed on lymphoma cells called CD19. And that has been a breakthrough in cancer medicine.
Okay, you're talking about the CAR T cell therapy. How accessible is this treatment for patients here in Singapore?
So currently, HSA has approved CAR T cell therapy for two main indications. One is for pediatric and young adults who are 2 to 2 years old of age for the pediatric population and younger than 25 years of age. And this is in the acute lymphoblastic leukemia. So this is not a lymphoma, this is a leukemia, a type of leukemia. And it's reserved for patients who have failed first-line treatment and in the relapse setting, even after a stem cell transplant. And the other indication that these CAR T cells are approved for is in the setting of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. Again, in the setting that patients must have had first-line therapy and second-line therapy and then not responded and has relapsed as well. So these are reserved for patients in a way what we call the unmet clinical need, because as mentioned before, the majority of patients are going to respond to the conventional chemotherapy, immunos and monoclonal antibody. But there is a population of patients who will not respond to these standard of care. And therefore, this unmet clinical need is where, you know, the science has to be developed over time to help these patients and have hope for these patients to survive their lymphoma. So those are the two main indications. How accessible it is at this point of time, we are fortunate that Singapore has also been gearing up and understanding this new wave in medicine and cell therapy and regenerative medicine. And therefore, Singapore themselves have allowed the commercial product to come to Singapore, and it is being offered in both SGH as well as NUH. And therefore, patients are able to access this therapy in these two institutions.
Right. Okay. Now, we have been speaking with Dr. Francesca Lorraine Lim, consultant with the Department of Hematology, Singapore General Hospital, Assistant Medical Director at the Cell Therapy Facility, Health Science Authority, and Deputy Head of the SingHealth Duke NUS Cell Therapy Centre. Doctor, this has been very informative. I think I need to step away and actually think about some of the things that you've shared with us. But it's been important information. I'm very grateful that you've shared it with us.
Thank you very much, Clarissa. Thank you. Thank you for having me as well.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.